D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss.
Boss.
They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know,
I say nation.
Dropping knowledge on the daily.
It's harmonizing.
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Uh-oh. And we know what's pumping on the field.
I mean, they know what's pumping on the field. Yeah.
Yeah.
B's and B-boys.
Uh-huh.
Saints. B's and B-boys.
What?
I love this book, guys. Oh. I love this book.
There it is.
Yep.
Welcome back. Another week, another edition. The BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. With me, to my right, Heath Elsonson. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. And I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. And for the next hour, we'll be going to talk more Saints and useless information that anyone needs to know about. So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax. We're about to do 97.7. It's not over yet. And the SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. Yeah. Gentlemen, an action-packed show today. More news and information.
Going extra hour.
Extra hour?
That's right. 1995.
Oh, that's right.
Don't forget.
You see, I'm telling you, as much as I want you guys to stick around, here we put an additional show on last week.
That's correct.
Had an extra bonus coverage.
You got to catch that podcast.
You know, I just want to do it for the people. Tomas is angling. Tomas is over there. He got. I can see little dollar signs.
Man.
Yeah. He's a businessman.
I have to make some Benjamins
today. Speaking of business,
let's
get to business.
Go ahead, get to it.
So we're going to talk about. Apparently, we caused quite a stir with our opinions about whether or not we should re-sign Cento Calamente, and we're going to talk a lot about that. What? Cinho. Cento.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, close enough. All right. Cornerbacks. There's another thing. Apparently,
it's the number one need on our team, and I
get somebody must have passed away.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, we only have one.
What?
We only have one cornerback. I'm starting to get the feeling Crawley left, and we didn't realize it.
Yeah. So okay, NFL meanings. So are we going to redefine the catch? Are we going
to
change pass interference to 15 yards?
Need to.
Oh, I hope to God.
I think we need to talk about that. A guy that we many fans, followers, some media people talking about. A Detroit Lion got franchised. He's off the market. Ansa.
Didn't want him anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
no
a
loss.
Lot of money. Now, we've been speculating about this for quite a while, but now all of a sudden it's starting to be kind of a mainstream thing. Vaccaro, they already got his bags packed.
Yeah, he's done.
You know, so, again, a whole thing. We're going to talk about Devontae Harris and how he has a – I mean, people are trying to get rid of – We got
last week we brought you the only news you're going to find on a long snapper. This week, I guarantee you, we're the only people are going to talk about Devontae Harris.
Baby, you got a future, man. The Saints, they signed him to a futures contract. I mean, they talking about we don't have any depth at corner, and Lattimore's the only corner we have. We have to replace. So they forget about Devontae Harris.
I guess so.
I don't know. Anyway, let's get this show started. So we got some of this in-depth information. Today are we talking about the backup? Who, medical staff? What we talked about the punter last week. Oh, no, the holder.
The holder.
The snapper.
No, snapper last week.
Snapper. Yeah.
Snapper last week.
It was so insignificant, I forgot what we talked about.
Yeah. No, I gave some in-depth commentary.
This week we're going to give a breakdown on the Ochsner team that's taking care of Mr. Benson right now.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
So, Ochsner, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, they getting exemplary care. Exemplary.
The normal care.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be normal.
They
specialize in flu care.
Yeah, Ochsner has turned over their entire staff, and now they're really good.
That's right.
That's right. See, I don't know how to take you if you're being serious or not, but the exemplary
no, I'm not being
care
serious.
That they it sounds like a divorce that I've become accustomed to.
Yeah,
they want to.
Well, we know we had the you know, the stuff with Bro, the misdiagnosis and all this other stuff. We've been questioning the Saints medical staff for years.
For a long time, yeah.
But Ochsner is the sponsor of, what is it, the practice facility?
Yes.
Is that technically
yeah
what it is?
Yeah.
And so it's just funny that when the Saints arm writes about Mr. Benson being an, you know, they can't throw out enough adjectives about Ochsner.
Yeah. Superlatives.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
It's just, you know,
so
funny.
We just mentioned a little bit earlier, Ansah, no longer a free agent. He's franchised by Detroit.
Right.
The thing about it is, I don't think that, look, I'm not saying if the Saints would have signed him, I wouldn't have been like, oh, yeah. You know, you know, if they would have signed him, it would have been for a ridiculous amount of money.
And that's why I said no.
For a player with a bunch of potential, but who, you know.
He like, hasn't been
healthy,
he hasn't been bringing
hasn't
it.
Been,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Gary, our friend that is a big Detroit fan, all year long, all he did was sit around and say about how they got to get rid of him. He don't have it. You know,
yeah,
he's done.
And speaking of Gary, you know, he's the one, he likes to remind me. He called Larry Wolford being a Pro Bowler.
He
called
he did.
It. Yeah, he called
he
it.
Definitely did,
he even pointed out how it's in writing, so we got to give him his props. So, you know, he's a diehard Detroit Lion fan, and he, Ansah, he's not a big fan, but he better get used to it because they re-signed or actually franchise-tagged him.
They franchise-tagged him. So they could get rid of him still if somebody's willing to pay for it.
All right. So while we're talking about free agents, let's go over NFL.com's top 101 free agents. So starting at 101. No, I'm kidding. Easy there. Easy. All right. Lean in.
What?
Lean in. Number one, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Number two, Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, I hear and listen to Sirius NFL radio, and they always bring up Kirk Cousins first and then Drew Brees. And I'm like, if you look at the circumstances, I think one season, Drew Brees, better quarterback. Having said that, you know, look, longevity, Kirk Cousins can give you, you know.
Really? How many times has Drew Brees been hurt in his career? Only time he tore up his shoulder and he's missed one game
since
he's been
30. He's like 47, man. I mean,
dude, again, because of the rules that we have today, he could easily play three more years. So if he could play three more years, and you never know how fate is, Kirk Cousins, I'm not saying it, I'm not wishing it or anything. But he could drop back. Somebody tattoo him. He blows his knee.
I mean,
and
that's anybody.
No, no.
That's anybody. But
right.
The thing about it is, I have to agree with you because I have Drew, especially with the way the team is built now, I have him 2 more years. So I don't think it's unfair to say 3 years.
Right, because I have him signing a 3-year contract. So we'll see.
All right. Le'Veon Bell, he's not going anywhere.
No.
DeMarcus Lawrence. Now, here's a guy. With the first name and last name, I mean, you talk about a pass rusher. DeMarcus Ware and Lawrence Taylor, player, but I can't imagine.
If like, only.
At the top of this list, I just don't see a lot of things. Now, here's a guy that Tomas talked about, Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I like him.
Wide receiver. Now, he was injured.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why I like him, because he's sort of fallen off the chart.
Right, right. And you know, the same thing with the kid that started off in Buffalo, the wide receiver, Sammy Watkins,
yeah.
The thing about it is you think, okay, well, they've had their problems, this and that and the other, but none of them seem to be going under the radar, because here's Sammy Watkins at number 7.
I don't like Sammy Watkins.
So, yeah, and my thing was this, right price? I mean, you know, like, you know.
I've seen it written about that the Jacksonville may franchise Robinson.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But if they do, then the other kid that they have, Marquise Lee, would be available. And
okay.
I would take either one of them.
Yeah.
And there's Case Keenum at number 10.
Yeah.
Casey Kasem. Malcolm Butler. And we're going to have to touch on that. Come on, man. Where's the enthusiasm for Malcolm?
Sorry.
We were this close to getting him before the season started.
No.
Yeah. Can you imagine what our team would look like if that trade would have happened?
We wouldn't have made the playoffs.
I
got the same enthusiasm about Malcolm Butler as the New England coaching staff did on Super Bowl.
There you go. Me too.
I mean, there's a good chance Ryan Ramczyk's not a Saint, and there's a really good chance that you might not have Lattimore. I think the Saints would have still saw the value if Lattimore was there, even though they did trade for Malcolm Butler.
They would have started Butler and Devonta Harris.
And
I think they didn't start Lattimore against Minnesota in the first game.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying, do you?
Can you imagine who would have been? Can you imagine who would have been the starting right tackle after Shreve goes down?
Oh yeah,
it'd have been a disaster.
Yeah,
Hey, we're just getting it cranked up. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk, 97.7. Hey, don't forget to go to Google Play or iTunes, download the podcast. We have special bonus coverage only available on the podcast, or if you miss any part of the show, you want to catch it, you can listen to it that way. All right, the first thing I want to bring up is the offensive line. Matter of fact, the Saints were ranked on NFL.com the number one offensive line in the entire league.
Yeah.
And then now the debate, how important is Senyo Calamenti to that number one offensive line? And let me say, I think he's really
pretty important.
And basically, with the reoccurring injury problems with Teron Armstead, it was very important that we had a backup who was a very good backup, and that was Calamenti. Now, in addition to that, luckily, we never had, because Pete had some injury problems too, yeah, but it was, and, you know, we had a good...
Warford was injured
mm-hmm. for a while. We never had two guys out at any one time. It was always where one guy got injured, Calamente could pop in, one guy recovered, the other guy went down for a couple of weeks. So he was so extremely valuable in that way. Yes, absolutely, you need quality depth in the NFL. Matter of fact, so the debate starts raging on. A friend of mine, follower on Twitter, Ryan, brought it up, a bunch of people talking about it, and then I get an email from Dave, who's a longtime emailer, follower of the show, and he says, is it foolish to draft an offensive lineman in the first round? Calamenti likely gone, and the Saints running out Bryce Harris may make you change your mind. This is definitely something that, you know, we need to consider draft time. I agree with that. You do not want to run out those caliber players,
yeah,
especially at the tackle position. Harris, the thought of him playing any amount of time is not desirable. No. Having said that, my debate, my point never was that Calamenti is not important, and it's not that, it's just using a first round draft pick on a guy who is would be penciled in as a backup. Now, Tomas brought it up to me. Yeah, but that's what they did with
our 31st pick last year,
Ryan Ramczyk. Look, Streif was a guy who was already at the end of his career, had all kind of injury problems, and it was pretty much, I would say, they knew that that was his last year. Even if he would have stayed relatively healthy, they needed a replacement, and they found a guy who slid down. I do not see that this year. There is no guy who needs to be replaced. Now, okay, you can argue, and we have on this very radio show argued that maybe right tackle Teron Armstead needs to be replaced, but that's a whole separate argument. There are no up-and-coming, there's no contracts coming up in the next 2 years, and there's no guys with one foot out the door because they're old or injured. You would be spending a first-round draft pick on a guy who, yes, he'll probably play based on history, but that you're just, you have a guy who's a backup who you just spent a first-round draft pick, when we can spend that first-round draft pick on a linebacker, on a defensive end, on a tight end, on a receiver that would immediately step in and be a contributing member of a team.
Yeah. Well, first we got to separate the tackles and the guards. You know, Calamente has in the past very limited amount stepped out at tackle and did a
serviceable job.
Yeah, did a yeoman job, okay? But his worth is on the interior. He's a guard and maybe even a center if you need one in a pinch. So, unfortunately, whether they kept Calamente or not, you might still wind up running Bryce Harris out there at some point. I hate to break it to whoever wrote that in. But, look, the bottom line is that I agree with you about spending – you know, it's hard to say, man. Two out of 3 years we spent a first-round pick on the lineman. And they wound up coming in awfully handy.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, but at the time, our offensive line, if you go back and look at it, it wasn't very good. It needed to be upgraded. Now, Tomas, it's there. The offensive line, there's not one person on the offensive line that you'd look at and say, that guy either has a contract that I'm not willing to pay, or, hey, man, listen, he's at the end of his career, or he's not very good. It's time to replace him.
Okay, so now I'm going to burst your bubble for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Here you go. So, as is usually the case, the first 10 picks in a draft, everyone agrees, are going to be starters. That's what you look at. The first 10 players.
You keep saying that, and I never called you out, but I don't agree with that. It varies.
Were the first 10 players last year starters?
That's irrelevant. I mean, you can have starters. We have starters that were in third round, second
round.
What I'm saying is that most scouts.
You have the best chance of starting.
Okay, right. I agree with that.
They generally only consider 10 guys blue chippers or.
That's correct.
Each year could be different.
Almost guaranteed.
It could be 4 one year, it could be 12.
No. Yeah. Okay.
I understand that, but we are picking 27th. So usually by 27th, good teams, teams that don't necessarily have a lot of glaring weaknesses, like the New Orleans Saints, when it comes to their spot, they're not picking because they need someone. They usually, by that point, are saying, who's left? Who's at the top of our board? So, based on how many free agent quarterbacks are on the market, based on how many top quarterbacks will be going in the draft, it wouldn't surprise me at all if one of the top guards in this draft slides all the way down to 27. And if that happens to be the case, it would not surprise me in the least that if the Saints are determined to not re-sign Kelemente, that they draft the first round, use their first round draft choice on an offensive lineman, in particular, a guard. Now, I'm just saying to you that this is just trying to be logical and rational. You might not be happy. A lot of the fans might not be happy.
I guess that's what it boils down to. Yeah. Because here's the thing. I would say, look, Senor Calamenti is a serviceable. He's a average NFL starting lineman. He's not a great player. And he was an undrafted free agent. We might have an undrafted free agent on our team who's ready to step in and fill his shoes.
Name.
Maybe he's not that versatile. Young. The kid from North Carolina.
Turner.
Landon Turner. That's the one.
He's so good you don't even know his name.
I'm just making a point.
He got cut and re-signed several times. Look, the bottom line, you say he's average. Let me tell you, it takes a real skilled player to be able to line up in the same game at left guard and then go to right guard.
I agree with you.
Okay. And if you listen to the interview given by Warford when he went to the Pro Bowl.
Well, just look at Pete. Pete can't play both sides.
Right. Well, Warford, who is a Pro Bowl selection, went to the Pro Bowl and was told he had to play left guard. And he said he got out there and he was like he was in high school. He couldn't remember, do I stand this way or that way? How do I? And then he was like, man, I have a whole new appreciation for Kelemente because that guy can come out here and play left, right, tackle, guard, center. Now, I don't think he's just an average player because if he were just playing one spot, he might be a Pro Bowler too. But having to play all these spots, it really shows you the value that he has for the Saints. I personally am willing to pay this man money to keep him on the team. But if we don't, I again am just saying, just to answer your statement, it would not surprise me in the least for the Saints to pick the top pick that's available at 27. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's an offensive line.
It just wouldn't make sense. And I think, okay, let's try going in this direction. How much are we willing? Because we could sit here and, oh, well, he would. How much are we willing to pay Kelemente to stay? That's the real question. We don't have a starting spot for him. So what is the number? Is that number, is it $2 million? Is it $8 million? Is it $6 million? Tomas, what is your number that you would say, past this number, you can walk?
I would say a 3-year contract would sound good because I think he's young enough that a 3-year contract
absolutely works. Yeah.
Okay. So I think a 3-year contract probably around the $5.5 to $6 million mark.
Okay.
I think
that's a fair contract. That's about what I was saying.
1.5 to $2 million a year, I think, is a fair contract for him. Closer to the two mil.
Wait. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Are you talking about total contract?
Yes, 3 years,
okay.
$6 million
contract. Here's the problem, is that I think he's going to get $4, $5, $6 million.
I don't think so.
Why not? You just got finished telling me he's super versatile.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's good, and he's more than average.
Okay, because I would say this to you. Unless you're looking to sign him as exclusively a guard, if you're going to sign him as exclusively a guard, yeah, he might be in the $3 to $4 million bracket per year. But if you're signing him to be your backup all-utility man, which many teams are looking at him that way, they're not looking at him as an all-pro guard, then they're going to sign him for a smaller contract.
He's not an all-pro guard, but what you just said completely not the case. If the guy is a if you are the Tennessee Titans or the Washington Redskins,
okay,
he's our right guard. He's our left guard. We're going to pay you X amount of dollars, and you'll be the starter. Now, if they think you're a high-level starter, they'll pay you $8, $10, $12 million. If they think you are just a guy or maybe come in and compete with a guy or whatever, then maybe it's $4 to $6 million. I'm just – my point is this. I think he's pretty good. I think that there's some team out there that will offer him more than $2 million a year. And you said, what, like a three-year contract for $6 million or so. I believe that somebody out there might pay him more. If it's only $2 million a year, I'm on board with you, bro.
Here's the thing, okay? Number one, that is the key point. Is anybody looking at Calamente as a starter? That's going to tell you everything you need to know, because if they are, they're going to be willing to pay more than the Saints are going to be willing to pay to keep the utility backup line.
Right.
Okay? But also keep in mind that at one point, the Dallas Cowboys wanted to give Lolito $2 million a year to come over there. So to say that there's not a, even as a utility guy, I don't think they were looking at Lolito as coming over there to be a starter at that time.
Right, right.
I agree that I think he's going to get offered more than $2 million a year somewhere for whatever reason. So then it just comes down to what are the Saints willing to pay, how much do they need the money in other places. And then there's another guy who did a pretty good job also filling in that guard at various times named Josh Laribas. Is it Josh?
Yeah, Laribas.
Okay. And I think he's a guy that if Calamente's number starts to get too high, I think the Saints are going to say, you know what, we picked up Laribas last year for a pretty, you know, reasonable cost or whatever. We're going to have to let Calamente go, and this is a guy we already got in house who can maybe,
I mean,
you know.
I don't think, obviously, he's not as good as Calamente, or else he would have been playing ahead of him. But I think he's good enough that if, like you said, if the number gets up to, I mean, I don't know. I think you could even maybe go $3 million on because you know he's going to get Calamente's going to get opportunities.
He's going to get some time.
We
yeah.
need it. The way that Armstead, his history and injury,
you're going to have to wind up sliding Pete out, and
you
somebody's got
to
go into the game.
So I think you can go a little further than you would with just some normal backup. But having said that, back to my original point, Tomas, I think your contract. Matter of fact, I think I would go a little bit more than that. But having said that, I'm still not spending a first-round draft pick. Would I spend my third? Okay, I can see it. That's assuming that Calamente left in free agency.
Right, right.
Could you see spending a third-rounder? Yeah, just not a first-rounder. Not. I can't see getting a guard instead of one of those stud tight ends or a linebacker like the kid from Georgia or one of those guys who would come in and maybe redefine your defense.
Okay. According to Sporting News, there are 11 guards that are better than Calamente in free agency.
Oh, yeah.
According to Sporting News.
We did the we just talked about the
he's number 98 on whatever
you are. Okay? The one I was reading off.
I'm saying just guards. According to Sporting News, there are 11 guards who rank higher than Calamente.
You mean in free agency?
In free agency.
Okay.
There are 11 guards that rank higher than Calamente in free agency.
Okay.
So, therefore, I go back and say to you, that I do not believe that there are enough teams looking at the guard position that would look at Calamente to be paying him $6 to $9 million a year. I just don't see it. And if they're not, I'll go back to what Heath said. Dallas would love to have him as a backup.
Right.
Because their offensive line was all beat up last year. And when they come back, one of the problems they had is they had no one who could fill in a variety of positions, whereas Calamente can't. So if anybody's going to pay him big bucks as a backup, it would be Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. But, again, I just don't see, based on 11 men being ahead of him, that he's going to be commanding those kinds of dollars. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
Well, here's the thing. Based on that's a very good way to put it. You got 11 guys. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some debate, argument on whether he's...
Right. Do they play the left? Do they play the right?
He's not 11th in this team's eyes, or he might be 22nd. But the point is that right there, that gives me a moment of pause to say that I think if that's what the league is thinking about him, then I think there's a chance the Saints could get him back at a reasonable price. And again, that's my whole argument here, is not that I don't want to keep him, not that he's not good. It's just how far are you willing to go to keep him with the assumption that if he's that good, then somebody else is going to be looking at him too.
So, well, and you also have to remember that we I said that NFL teams today are built off of the draft. And so do you pick somebody at 27 who's going to be locked in for 4, maybe 5 years at a number significantly less than Kelemente and who might be able to outplay Kelemente? Again, it might not be the fans' pick, but from a business perspective, it might be the right pick for the Saints.
Hey, we always forget, or at least I always do, give us a call on the graffiti hotline. Give us your thoughts. Give us your input. 701-901-1295. Or you can email us at bsandbeer@icloud.com. The easy way to get in touch with us. We want to know what you think. You got this situation here. Apparently, Twitter, people are talking to me on Twitter. People are sending me emails. Everybody has an opinion on this Kelemente thing. And it's one of those deals where time will tell, like Tomas said, we'll see what team feels he's worth and how much he's worth. And matter of fact, free agency starts here, what, about 3 weeks? Matter of fact, the combine is going to be at the end of the week, this weekend, I believe. Yeah. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. More Saints Talk coming up.
Come out, Virginia.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Sports Talk 97.7 here at the SEC Sports Pub. Listen, guys, we were going to talk about a couple of things. One of them was the cornerback situation and, you know, some and then I forget if it was either Heath or Tomas. Tomas brought up this article by Jeff Duncan in the is it on NOLA.com?
Yeah.
But
I think it's Jeff Duncan who wrote the article.
The thing about it is this article is so encompassing that it covers everything we wanted to cover plus a little bit more. So we're going to spend some time talking about that. So, Tomas, the list, you want to go 10 down to 1?
Either way, you want to do it, that's fine. Okay.
I don't think it was Duncan, though.
I'm looking at it. I know I replied to Duncan because he posted it.
So Michael DeMocker.
Okay. I've never heard of him. But
anyway.
All right. So, number 10, prepare Taysom Hill to be the backup.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the thing. I haven't seen the guy throw a pass, and I've yet to go back and really look at anything. I didn't take it very seriously when Coach Sean Payton said during the preparing for a game,
yeah,
he told was Buck and Aikman that our next quarterback,
future quarterback, yeah,
is already
in
the building.
Whatever, yeah.
So okay, it caused quite a buzz. I'm gonna wait to see him throw some balls in the preseason before I get all excited about it, because quite frankly, I mean, you know, right now he's just an undrafted free agent quarterback that we signed, who's our number three.
But we did talk about the fact that this would be a year that they have to pay out more money to Chase Daniel.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if that's true and Chase Daniel's expecting a $4 or $5 million or more contract, to me it's like
you have no choice.
Have good luck,
well,
Chase.
Specifically to what he says here, I agree. You know, if the Saints truly believe that he's the heir apparent to Breeze, then they need to do everything to find out if that's in fact the case and to prepare him.
And he played last year with Green Bay during camp and during preseason.
Right.
Before they let him go. And he was, you know, they were hoping they were going to sneak him through.
Oh, get him on the practice squad.
Right. So they were, and there are a number of Green Bay fans, because I went to go read on some of the Green Bay postings, that thought he was really the guy, the next guy up. So you never know.
All right. Well, yeah.
And he's 28.
And that was one thing. So
yeah,
didn't he go
guy
on like a mission?
Yes.
Or he will be 28.
Yeah. Well, because one of the things I think is even a bigger case as it pertains to this is, do the Saints spend a draft pick on a guy? And I would think it wouldn't be at 27.
No,
because
do you
spend a third rounder on a guy?
Yeah,
do you spend
be.
You know, so the point is, if here's the thing. If you're going to spend a third rounder on a guy that you're going to develop, and Hill can be that same guy, then you save yourself a draft pick.
That's correct. Right.
If the third round rolls around and the Saints and Lauletta, one of those guys is sitting there and the Saints don't pick him or they do pick, that's going to pretty much tell you what they really think it takes.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Exactly.
All right, number nine, draft the tight end. I don't think that's
dilly.
To me. Dilly. I don't know how that's number nine because to me.
And I like the name he threw, right? Dallas Goedert. Goedert,
yeah.
I think it.
I like him. It looks like
that's
Kobe Fleener.
1.0.
That's right. Tomas's first mock had Goedert as the
It looks like Fleener's going to be around, I guess.
Yeah, and listen, I don't really have a problem with that. Fleener has a certain skill set. We already paid him the money. Whether you feel that he's good enough or the money was well spent, it's too late to worry about it. You already bought it. Just use it.
So the deal with that is now is it would act, you know, they – I think his money, that 3. Whatever million became guaranteed on – was it February 7th, I think I saw in an article somewhere. So, basically, at that point, the Saints either knew they wanted to keep him around or they felt that he – or knew that he couldn't pass a physical at that point.
Okay.
So, but if they – to cut him now is actually going to cost them more money than
to
keep
him.
Yeah,
so he's
on the team. But if they designate him a post-June 1 cut,
okay. So
they can spread it over 2 years and actually get $3 million on this year's cap.
Right. I didn't realize that. So he's not out of the woods yet?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, so draft a good tight end. I think we all on the same page with that. Let's move on to number eight. Be bold in the NFL draft. Now, I don't think
The premise of this one is that they need a pass rusher, and Chubb and Davenport are the only ones that are really, you know, really high picks. The Saints either need to go and get them or, you know.
Or yeah, it's not going to happen.
Or are they going to be picking through, you know, Arden Key and I think he's Sam Hubbard, guys like that.
I saw that there's not really a lot of quality pass rushers at defensive end this year. So if you don't get one of those two top guys.
Or in free agency either.
All right, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, that's what, like cornerback, you know, defensive end. To get a good defensive end in free agency that doesn't have baggage is going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Right.
Number seven, Tomas.
Number seven is resist the urge to trade for Vinnie Curry.
The basketball player from Golden State, right?
That's right. He can only shoot 3 points.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's a one-dimensional player.
Yeah. That's right.
I agree with this 100%.
Yeah. Too expensive, first of all. He's going to want a lot of bucks, and the production isn't just
started 48 there. Games over the last 3 years and has a total of 9 sacks in that time.
Yeah. All right.
Not there.
Number six.
Number six, avoid everyone else in free agency. So, I mean.
That's a little cynical.
Yeah. Basically, what he's saying here is that the Saints need to target guys like Warford or Klein, you know, kind of mid-tier to lower-tier guys and not try to. There's nobody out there that's high-profile, big money that's worth actually spending the money on.
Yeah. And
I agree with that.
And I think they need to be smart about it now. They need to find that one guy here, one guy there. That could be, you know, the Klein guy.
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's not great, but you know what? It made our team better. You know, and we're talking about depth. One of the things I think is huge, and I don't want to get too far off the subject here, is, man, as good as we were last year, tons of second and third-year players who will be significantly better.
Yeah.
So, like, to go out and look for a bunch of guys to be impact players, when at this point we're going to have a hard time re-signing the guys we have 2 years from now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, Tomas, number five.
Number five, take a flyer on Dante Moncrief. I 100% agree with that.
Okay.
I think that there are only a couple of receivers, actually three receivers on my list of free agents that I might be interested in. Two of them play for Jaguars. We talked a little bit about Robinson and Lee. But the other guy I have is Dante Moncrief. I think any one of those three guys will definitely improve our offense at wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a good ball player. The thing that I wonder, young guy like that, is how much is going to cost you to get him, and then next year when you start talking to Tomas about his contract.
The thing about Moncrief right now is, I mean, he had a great first season.
2 years
ago. Years ago, whatever. Yeah. But since then, he's been injured, and then the
doesn't
quarterback situation.
Well, now
he doesn't have anything else to, prop
the resume.
Him up.
So his numbers aren't going to be that big.
And the thing about it, though, and that's the type of guy that you need, a guy that says, man, I'll go play for the Saints and have Drew Brees throwing me the ball.
Exactly.
And pad my resume.
Maybe get a ring.
Yeah, maybe get a ring.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's a 2-year contract, maybe 3 years, and then they go out and sign their huge contract after that. Yeah. That's the type of guys the Saints need. The problem with it, and I heard complaints about this, and there's some validity to it, is you out there signing guys who have been hurt in the past and haven't, And it's like, okay, we got him. He played well. Then he's hurt again. So, you know, but that's how you get the bargain players.
That's correct.
Is you got to take a chance. Yeah. Okay.
And he's from Mississippi, so.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing for you? Yeah.
Well, he's, you know, kind of a hometown Southern guy, yeah. I guess.
All right. So, number four, sign a cornerback in free agency. Okay, this is a big
one. Well, this is the big one, yeah. So, yeah, I've seen this attitude echoed in multiple places. But, you know, this is kind of how he says it. You know, he's talking about Malcolm Butler, Kyle Fuller, Aaron Colvin, and Tremaine Johnson. Any of the four would be an upgrade at the position opposite Marshawn Lattimore and solidify the young secondary. Later on down here, he says they could use a veteran starter to solidify the open spot next to Lattimore. You know, okay, so... And then, of course, he throws in the obligatory, you can never have enough good cornerbacks, which, you know, I'll agree with that, generally speaking. But, you know, the open spot, there was a guy named Crawley that was in it.
Right.
And the guy played pretty good.
And that's Tomas's brother-in-law. That's
yeah. Correct. Yeah, I mean, you know, we that's know all boy. About him because, you know, we get all the inside information here. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. That was the comment. Like, if you say, hey, and I think you agree with this, Heath, you can never have enough, and we've seen it.
Yeah.
You can never have enough good cornerbacks. But I'll make the argument, you can never have enough good running backs. Last year, remember when we went to the playoffs, Seattle, or was it with, several years where we had no running backs. But you can never have enough good offensive linemen. Last year, you can never.
Any position.
Yeah,
you
get bit by the injury bug, there's nothing you can do about it. But having said that, the comment that really bugged me the most is the open spot. Ken Crawley, and listen, for me to say this, and Tomas can attest, I was not a Ken Crawley fan.
Yep.
I did say he did some things well, but I didn't have confidence in him.
Yep.
He's proved me wrong. He proved you right. Tomas, he's been a very good player. To make that comment, to me, is almost ignorant.
Yeah, if he'd have said, you know, to provide insurance that Crawley doesn't revert back to year one,
sure, okay.
Or, you know, maybe he was a fluke, or if he'd have said something along those lines, and went, you know. But, I mean, to call the man an open spot.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't know what the fascination is with signing a really high
– And I would say this.
Profile, high-priced free agent.
Do you really believe that either Malcolm Butler or Tremaine Johnson can beat out Crawley?
No, I don't necessarily want to get into that because I might make the – here, let me put it this way. For the money, absolutely not.
Well, that's what I'm saying it's a business decision.
Because both of those guys are good ball players, so I don't take anything from them.
I didn't say that they weren't.
No.
I'm just saying that for the money you're going to pay
It's not even close.
No.
I mean, you have Ken Crawley, who's on an undrafted free agent contract, who played very well. How many times did you see those – not listen, it's so funny. I don't even like –
Pro football focus.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. But as soon as it makes my point, I'm like, how many times did Pro Football Focus I mean, listen, he was like one of the best – red zone cornerbacks this season. The point is, there was at no point where he was a liability. No. He was always a solid performer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, to make this point is just ridiculous. Not to mention, we still got Devontae Harris, you know. No?
But I would say
that's right.
The two of these four guys, for the right price, I might pick up if they could fill that slot spot. Kyle Fuller, Chicago. I have him on my list, actually, somewhere. I don't remember where I put him. But I got him on the list here somewhere. Kyle Fuller, right here. Bears. He's 26 years old. And, of course, the big talk's been Aaron Colvin. Now, I think Colvin's going to demand a big chunk of money, so I don't know that he's going to be it. But Kyle Fuller may not demand a lot of money. What is he on there? How much? Oh, he's number nine? Well, I don't know. On your list? I don't know. I didn't look at my other list. But I'm just saying, if these guys demand that kind of money, no, then I'm just saying, thanks very much, we'll move on. Matter of fact, I've got another 26-year-old from the Rams, Nickel Robey Coleman, as another possibility, and he won't be a lot of money.
Yeah. And so, let's not forget, you know, as we're going to see coming up here pretty soon, we got a guy named Bro.
Yeah, we got a
guy named
Bro, and we got Peanut Butter and Jelly, the 6-year veteran with 6 games under his belt.
That's right.
I mean, you just never know.
Yeah. I mean, look, right now.
Plus, we got Hardy, who is another kid that I like.
You know, didn't. He actually got signed to the active roster in the playoffs.
That's correct.
I saw some things. The difference between me and you, Tomas, he's bold and he goes out on a limb. And me, I'm like, show me, and then I'll come. Just like Crawley. I'm like, nah.
So he showed you, and now you're on my team with Crawley.
Here's the thing. I'm
Crawley, so give me another year. Let's see if Hardy makes my team.
But I liked Hardy. I'm not saying I'm willing to pass up on a guy or something for Hardy, but I am saying I'm willing to give him a look. Makes that cornerback depth a little bit. And then there's Millett.
Yeah, a
lot of people liked him. Yeah. I mean, I think that we have enough guys to fill out that supporting cast. Starters. Maybe they could be. We didn't think Crowley was a starter.
I did.
All right. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Miami. South Beach.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Hey!
All right. Everybody
we nailed it, man. We there nailed it. Where's them horns at?
Coming.
Here we go. There we go. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, the man, the myth, the legend. Bringing us all that insight, draft information, draft news.
Mel Kiper retired.
Yeah, well, you got that Mel. He does have that Mel Kiper hair thing going on.
I can put more
on.
Gel in there. I got more product in there.
Get it back, sculpt a little bit.
I had to let it grow out.
Yeah. No, yeah, you got to go a little higher. You got to go higher. Yeah. Hey.
Can you act more like an ass?
Yeah, no, I think
try.
I think you have the skill set.
You
have the skill set.
See, that's why my friend talks about me. I see how it is.
All right, so we talked about the hotline, the graffiti hotline.
Yeah.
701-901-1295. We actually have another call.
That's your personal phone number?
No. Uh-huh. I don't give that out. I don't divulge that stuff on the air.
Okay.
Let's get to this call.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Big Will. First-time caller, long-time Saints fan, and
thank
a big
you.
Fan of y'all's show.
Oh,
y'all keep doing
you,
what you're doing. Y'all doing great things. I got a couple questions. Number one, a couple years ago, y'all did a live mock draft on one of your shows.
Oh, yeah. He goes way back.
I believe y'all were using Fan Speak on the clock.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
You let it pick all your picks, and then y'all
just
gave your thoughts and opinions on each pick. I enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite shows. Not that my opinion matters, but
yeah,
I was wondering
man,
if y'all
yeah.
were bringing that back this year.
Okay.
That
all
would
right.
be awesome. Yeah. Number two, I read an article on CanalStreetChronicles.com about Dante Moncrief. And the potential for him joining the Saints if it doesn't work out with
that.
The Colts.
Yeah.
Me
yeah.
personally, I think the boy's a baller. He's got good hands, good speed. Tomas probably has some negative things to say about him, but that's okay. but I think he'd be a great number two alongside Michael Thomas. I think they would tear it up. All right, I'm going to hang up and listen. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. I'm out.
Hey, Big Will, man, thank you so much
yeah.
for the first-time call. We appreciate it. If I was more proactive,
yeah.
I would have listened to the call.
Right, we would have placed it more appropriately.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
so we already talked about.
We agree with you, Big Will.
Yeah,
with Tomas, Moncrief.
I don't know how much bad stuff he had to say.
I had nothing bad
he
to
has
say
nothing
about
to say bad about.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Big Will, I hurt my feelings, bro.
Cutting edge stuff right there.
You
Big Will.
Beer.
Yeah, you, Tomas didn't have anything bad to say about it. And yes, last year we considered doing the mock draft thing, and we just kind of have fun with it, being silly. And you know what? But we have to bring it back.
Sure, I
think we had a good time
why
with
not?
It. What is the BS and Beer or BS and B Enterprise Towers where they
yeah,
held?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, we'll have
we
to
had
go
the whole
back
thing.
And listen. Yeah,
had the whole thing. All right, yeah, we'll go back and matter of fact, we might just change it.
Hey,
up
Big Will, you know what episode that was? Give us a call up.
All right, thanks for the call again, Big Will. Listen. Let's go back and finish up where we were, or where we left off on the list.
All right,
Tomas, number three, give it to us, brother.
Say goodbye to Kenny Vaccaro and Senio Clemente.
Hmm. All right.
Now, we already talked about.
All right. I demand. No, okay. We already covered that.
Yeah, we covered
now,
Clemente.
The Vaccaro thing, I think the writing's already on the wall. We've talked about it. I think we all agreed he's going to be too pricey.
Yes, I would agree there.
And I think that.
He'll get much more money someplace else.
Yeah, and I just don't
think. Maybe even the Scamthers will give him money.
I don't think the Saints lost a whole bunch when he was gone. I mean, I'm sure there are elements, but if we had our linebacking crew healthy, and again, it's always like if this guy was healthy, that guy was healthy. I just don't see the value.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
I don't either.
So, and we already discussed Calamente. So,
yeah.
Next one, Heath.
Number two.
Number two was offer tenders to three key restricted free agents, Delvin Bro, Brandon Coleman, and Willie Snead.
All right. To me, Bro, no-brainer. I know, listen, he played pretty well his first year. Injuries, inconsistency, and a lot of that probably had to do with injuries. But I think that bro's a no-brainer. You gotta get that tender. You gotta get him back to figure out if he's as good as he was his first year. No-brainer.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so. Yeah. Now the minimum tender would be $1.9 million, but I don't know where that falls on the what round and all.
I don't think that's with any rounds. I think that's the third one that
the
you know
third
they just
option. Okay,
they get nothing for him. It they can match whatever somebody offers them.
Yeah. I agree with tendering all three of them, but I still wonder what the deal with Willie Snead was. It seemed like there was something. I don't know that. I'm wondering if the Saints want to tender Willie Snead or not.
The answer will be there. We'll find out very quickly.
Yeah.
In the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, right after the
what they think. If they just, like, don't tender him and he's gone, then there was a big deal. If not, there's been some. I've heard some speculation. I've talked to a couple of people that it wasn't that they disliked Willie. He got in trouble. The DUI came back. He was overweight. By the time he got back into the flow, he actually had more snaps than Coleman did. The problem is he just wasn't getting targeted because the Saints had developed a personality that didn't include him.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's right, but that was a conversation I had with folks in the media in New Orleans. And they came to that conclusion, and it seemed to make sense. But we will find out. Now, the last one is Coleman.
Yeah.
One a day. Okay, he's a great blocker.
Yes.
He's a guy that, to me, I just repeat myself. He's just a disaster waiting to happen. He makes a play here. And none of them are great plays. He catches the ball. He does whatever a normal receiver can do. I did pay attention to his blocking, and he is a good blocker. He's big guy, long arms, gets a hold of those cornerbacks, and he can knock them out. Lock them out, not knock them out. I just don't know if – I mean, bring him back, but I'm looking to upgrade the position.
Yeah, for a $1.9 million tender, right, I think that's the difference. If we were talking multi-million, many millions per year,
talking a one-year deal, 1.9, whatever. The shortest and least you can put. I think it's worth bringing him back. And then if somebody beats him out,
he showed some toughness and grit at some times. He really did.
He did improve. So I'm trying to give him his credit.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, he showed some moves and some toughness and that he hadn't exhibited before.
Yeah, but then he also.
Oh, he is still very capable. Yes,
on two consecutive drives.
That is true. That is true.
Didn't cost us a game, but could have easily cost us a game. And that's the type of guy. And here's the thing. I can't remember. Was it a playoff game? Or the end of the season, or was it Atlanta when we needed a win? It was a crucial game, and there he is flailing around with the ball out away from his body, and then he ended up fumbling again.
Yeah.
And my point is, listen, you are not a player that is allowed to fumble. There are certain players on the team, you don't get personal fouls, you don't get to lose your temper, you don't get to do something to cost the team anything.
Right.
And he's one of those guys.
Right.
And you put the ball in his hands, and if he's going to fumble it, I don't need you.
The Saints have invested a good bit of time in him at this point. Now, I think it's worth a $1.9 million tender to beat a fourth or fifth receiver to see if he can finish making the light come on there.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so the last one, Tomas?
Sign Drew Brees. It's an easy one.
Took the wind out of my sails on that one. Yeah, it couldn't
Little
be
Dice
a...
just tweeted us.
Uh-oh.
He said, yes, they are listening to me, and he's got about the limiting the pass interference to a 15-yard penalty.
You know what?
So, Little Dice is excited.
I think that'd be good.
Let's talk about
By the
this.
Way, did you all did you agree with all 10 of the – before we leave that, did you agree with all 10 or
I think for the most part I did.
Really? See, because I didn't agree with all of them. I agree with like 6 of them. But, I thought it was good for conversation, and I thought we covered it pretty well.
Absolutely. So. But I want to talk real quick because we only have a short amount of time here. Let's talk about the NFL rule changes. One of the things they're talking about is taking out maintaining possession to the ground, surviving the ground.
Right.
They're talking about taking that out. I don't know how I feel about that. The other one that is, to me, a no-brainer is the 15-yarder. If just like the college rule, pass interference is no longer
it's too
a
big of a penalty. Big of a penalty.
On questionable,
right? Questionable calls and no guarantee that the receiver was going to make the catch anyway.
Right.
You can't have a guy in a desperate situation chunk a ball up 50 yards down the field and have two guys knocked together going for the ball, call interference on one of them, and bail a team out when there was no guarantee that their guy was going to make the play anyway. Sorry, it's ridiculous.
You just can't give it to him.
It's always been ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. All right, hey, that's all the show that we have for you this week. I want to thank Heath here, Tomas, always with me. Great job. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for the caller. 701-901-1295. Be a part of the show. But for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on Sports Talk 97.7.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, but don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to Davey, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.